episodes, five hosts. Welcome to the 70th episode of Inside the Game here on OneMoreGame.tv. As you can see, we've got a nice little, almost, I would say, game show-esque front page here on the show. You can see we've got two spots that are about to be unveiled as some hosts for Inside the Game. Jeff, before we introduce our future hosts, friends, punching bags, comrades, butt of jokes, question answers, strategists, etc. How are you?
I'm doing well, Wheat. Thanks for asking. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's been like a crazy couple of weeks. And I'll tell you what, part of that craziness has been, of course, all the great StarCraft that's been going on. And I'm getting to the point I can't keep up anymore. And that's a kind of good feeling. So I won't lie.
StarCraft's been good to us lately.
Yeah. So people thought, you know, that the scene would change, Jeff, and suddenly we would just know. But we thought we'd unveil each of the folks that we have on the show. And I have no idea. I have no plan beyond this. I just created a few graphics and some extra layers in XSplit and thought this would be hilarious to watch the chat, you know, just kind of like struggle through who could possibly be our representatives. But we're going to stay true to the show, Jeff, and we're going to stick with Terran and a Zerg. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Do you have anything you'd like to say about the unveiling of our Terran?
Just that we here at Inside the EG feel that it should be obvious we only have so many Zergs and Terrans, so if you're going to guess, you know, it's a pretty easy guess, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be EG, because otherwise, you know,
we'd have to rename the show otherwise.
I don't think that's... Renaming the show is like renaming a town. You can't do that so well, you know.
You're right. You can't.
Stick with what you got.
I'll tell you what. I would like to tell a story close to the heart, right?
Please do.
We had this man on Live on 3 at one time, and he was playing for a team. And it came off of a victory, which is why we had him on Live on 3, because, you know, we have champions on that show. And he had commented about how he wanted to, you know, he wished that he was a little bit better marketed as a player. And a little after that, he did join Evil Geniuses, and he, in my opinion, probably flourished in terms of personality, play, and what I even thought he was capable of in the short span of a few months. And I think that this individual is incredibly talented. It's an honor to have him on the show. And let me make sure I unveil the right one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, our Terran host. We've got Thor Zane. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, did you eat? Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
Marcus.
Yes.
Nice to be on.
Now two Marcuses on the show.
Yeah.
I tried it with Zerg, the takeover. That didn't quite work. Now I'm trying it with Marcuses, and we'll see.
Now I can just say Marcus, and I got two birds, one stone, man. Works out good.
Thor Zane, I know that the Terrans around the world are just rejoicing right now to have you as sort of the Terran representative here on Inside the Game. So thank you for taking and filling a tough seat, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard taking the Muslim seat. I don't know, he's just such a... I don't know, he's like a fan favorite as well, so it's going to be... I bet a lot of people are disappointed, but hopefully some are happy as well.
I think there'll be some happy folks out there for sure. And now I think it's appropriate that we unveil our new Zerg. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about the news, the reason why our Zerg is switching. But it was my desire to... you know, to obviously continue with Greg, but when things don't necessarily work out, there's individuals that step up to the plate and say, "Hey, goddammit, I'm willing to do it." And so I mean, unless you have some words that you would like to say, I would just like to frankly unveil our next, you know, our next guest. What do you guys say? You have anything you'd like to say about this?
Just that he's got a lot of personality, and I'm happy for an opportunity for more people to learn about him, because despite all that personality, oftentimes it comes out in terribly made self-videos that are posted on Reddit of him being weird and goofy, and this might be a little bit more of a streamlined approach to letting people know who he is.
He's like kind of the opposite of what Greg was, in my opinion.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's about it. Yeah, it's about right.
I think that's absolutely right. And so without further ado, the new Zerk host on Inside the Game, it's Puma. Congratulations. Oh, wait, no, it's not Puma. It's Suppy. Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
What's
how's it going?
Crack-a-lackin'?
Not sorry, I mean, the Puma Suppy story is like one of my favorites. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to just use that joke again. So, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. Studying for finals. Yeah, but tomorrow I'm going to be done, and then I'm going to start poning for WCS.
Is your final tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow night.
What is your final on?
What is your final? Like, what's that consist of?
It's physics. It's like a 3-hour final, and then it's just like 15, or I don't even know how many questions it is, but yeah.
15 questions for 3 hours?
It might be even less than that.
Are the
honest.
Questions practical to but life? Shit. You know, like a giant boulder is rolling down the hill, and there are 12 orphan children at the bottom, and it takes you 5 minutes to save one child. How many will you
Dude,
save?
Is like attributed kind of for thing? Working on this.
No?
Oh, we actually had a review question. It's like, pretend you're in 1912 or like whatever, and you're on the Titanic, and there's the giant iceberg in front of you. How long would it take for like the iceberg, like after puncturing a hole, to like sink the ship? And like, how long do you have to like jump off the ship?
So you went and watched the movie.
Yeah.
Told them about. I think it takes about 45 minutes. Is that how long? That part of the movie.
The whole second half is pretty much the demise of the Titanic.
You should have said about 4 rose paintings sessions. Yeah. That would have been the correct answer.
That would have been. And the car scene.
The car scene.
There was a car scene.
Oh yeah, they had steamy sex in the back of a classic car.
Oh yeah, right. That was in the first half of the movie, which, like I said, I only ever watched the second half because that's when all the good stuff happened.
Why would you only watch the second half of a movie?
Because that's when, like, all the shit's happening, Thorzane. Like, that's when, like,
that's what you do,
like,
in every single movie?
No. Like, okay. So the story is, and then we'll talk about StarCraft, is that I used to work at a video store when, God forbid, we had VHS tapes. And Titanic, when it was released on 2 VHS tapes. So, you know, people would come in and they would rent Titanic, and I would say, do yourself a favor and just pop in the second tape.
What?
And enjoy it, you know? And there you go. It was perfectly split. So it's like you popped in the second tape. They're like, sir, there's an iceberg. And then they hit it and all the shit's happening. It's great.
I'm going to have to try that out.
You got to find some VHS
copies.
That's
why
Wheat
no longer works at a video store.
It's funny that you mentioned VHS tapes because Team Liquid was doing some like get to know your WCS American Challenger League people, and one of their questions is like just a picture of a VHS tape and like asking them what it is. Yeah, and they don't know what it is because they're all like 14 years old.
Shut up. Who didn't know what it was?
Neeb, Drunken Boy.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're all like 14.
That's awesome.
Well, and they had floppy awesome discs too, and like only one of them like knew that it was a floppy disk.
That's horrible. That makes me a little sad and feel old. All right, guys, let's talk. Let's talk a little bit about our topics. We've got plenty to talk about. We're going to open up the phones later on, per usual as well. And, you know, obviously the hot topic, we're going to jump right into it, I guess. And that's going to be the discussion of Greg and his departure from Evil Geniuses. And I'd like to definitely focus in on some thoughts, but we had some questions from the fans. And at this point, many of you have already kind of given your thoughts about it. So I felt like some of the questions that came from fans were a little bit more like from a team, you know, perspective, how can this impact it? But also, able to or open to give your own thoughts as well. So, I mean, I guess I just throw out the first fan question that came out. And that would be, what is the hardest part about Idris' departure for you guys?
Suppy.
I mean, I was just going to say, I mean, it was definitely a huge shock that it happened. But in terms of how it actually affects me, like, I feel like it's actually not as big as maybe it might appear to be. He's still really close by and we're friends. Not nearly as close as maybe Jeff and him. So it's not as, like, as like game breaking for me. I feel like if we had been practicing a lot more and, you know, doing a lot of stuff like that, like I felt like if, say, DeMuslim left the team, that would impact me a little bit more because I practice with him a lot. But that said, he's still in the area. He's still in the Bay Area, so I'm hoping we can still... We, like, saw movies, like, a couple weeks ago, so I'm hoping we can still hang out and stuff. And even though he's off the team, he's still, like, pretty accessible. And, yeah, that's just... It's not, like, a huge impact for my game, I guess.
Sure.
For me, I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, I wasn't as close to Greg as some of the players who lived with him for a very long time and even knew him before StarCraft 2. I think me and Conan were probably the foreigners on EG that were the furthest away from Idra. And not really... Like, I have nothing against him. We were friends. Like, but it's not a huge impact on my... Like, I didn't cry or anything.
Sure.
Yeah, I think... I'm not even sure why I responded so emotionally, just because I guess I've known Greg for going on like 10 years now, so I felt like him being fired from EG for me was more scary just for his like well-being. And obviously once it kind of settled in and I talked to Greg a bunch and I can see things unfolding, I'm very confident that Greg's going to be totally fine. He's always had this anger issue. He's always had... despite his intelligence and otherwise good judgment, the ability to say really dumb things publicly. And he knows that. So when I kind of sat back and reviewed it rationally, it kind of, everything just made sense. Like, EG's hands were tied. Greg had done something at a time that was really poor timing, but also it was kind of heading in that direction. Like, Greg's drama with DeMuslim. Greg just got done saying something really bad to Kapok. Like, you can't have too many of those incidences in a row without really severe things happening. So I think if this would have happened more like completely out of the blue, like Greg one day is like, I hope you fall downstairs and your shoelaces strangle you. And then he's just like fucking fired just out of the blue. And he's like otherwise happy and doing well and hasn't said anything really bad. I think that would be really jarring. But as it is, it just kind of made sense. So... I guess for me, I'm now happy that he's moving on.
I mean, you also kind of got hit from, I mean, you know, during a very public sort of time, during a show, like that would have been shocking in and of itself. And I do think that JP, you know, just sort of handled it well, just so that, and that's news that anyone just, you know, needs whatever time away from themselves. I mean, I certainly was shocked by the announcement and watching it at the, you know, at the same time. You know, let's ask some of the other questions that came in. And again, this isn't necessarily – I just feel like I pulled these questions from the fans because it's generally the questions that have been asked but maybe not necessarily answered. And that is – here's another one that came in. Do you think that EG's value has gone down as a result of Greg's release or the opposite? Basically looking for your guys' perspective on that from a team.
I think the void Greg leaves with any organization in terms of just raw value is always going to reduce the quote-unquote like short-end value of that company. I mean, to be very honest, like when Greg speaks, people want to know whether – or they want to listen. Like that's – he's always going to be missed on Inside the Game as well. Not that Suppy and Thorzane aren't great replacements, but Idra is the only Idra in all of esports, in absolutely all of esports, you know, and – when he leaves a team or company for one reason or another, a gigantic hole is filled. But I think where I draw an asterisk next to me saying that the company loses value is I think there's a gigantic opportunity that presents itself that otherwise wouldn't. Because Greg is such a big personality and because he's such a big figure, he oftentimes overshadows a lot of the people around him. And that's not like some nefarious thing that he does. It's just a byproduct of being a gigantic figure. And also, and this would be something that, you know, we were working on, and if we had more time, maybe Greg would improve upon. But he's also kind of he has a little bit, like, he's been very outspoken about how much he hates the game, and he's very outspoken about, he's more negative, I would say, about things when he gets kind of emotional. And right now, EG is working really hard to try to change that perspective and become more of like a family and certainly create that unity that we have always strove for. And I think, unfortunately, because of just kind of the emotional output that Greg puts out there, with him gone, there's now an opportunity for us to achieve that, whereas before there wasn't.
Okay. Do you guys, Thorze and Arsepi, have anything to add to that, or would you generally agree?
That was... He basically said everything. I mean, I don't think...
Jeff does that.
Yeah.
He does that. All right,
I can't do anything but agree. Like, it feels like, yeah, the value of EG, as I'm like... Yeah, it sank a little bit, but I don't think it's a big deal, and I don't know how seriously the sponsors took, like, they obviously got complaints, and I heard the reason was that the sponsors needed to him to be released. So maybe in that, like, regard, it wasn't really negative for the team.
Sure, sure.
I wonder how much attention, like, the announcement actually got for EG as well, because... It was actually on, like, our all, like, front page number one for, like, the entire day, which is, like, pretty big. Like, a lot of, like, non-StarCraft people even, like, saw it. So I think even just, like, the announcement that he left was able to provide, like, some, you know, attention to what happened. But like Jeff said, like, Greg is a very, very popular player, and everybody likes to hear what he says. So now that he's off the team, it is a big hit to the value, but there is also some... liability that there is, like, regarding him in terms of some of the things he says can be a little bit negative when the sponsors take a look at it and stuff like that.
Awesome. And you're a smart man. You're right, because sometimes any press is good press, as they say. So, all right, here's, I think, the last question, and then we'll talk about something else that came up in regards to this. Because I think each of you are kind of at a stage where you'd probably answer it differently, and so I'm curious to hear. But each of you are great players, but also great personalities. So what are your thoughts about Greg? And, you know, in this case, any competitive player at this point, stopping competitive play to focus on, you know, being a caster, being a personality, or just moving on and maybe doing other things that aren't necessarily focused on the competitive game. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on you know, how you guys think of it as a viable career path based off of where you're at. Who wants to start with that?
I think it's very... Oh, okay, you can start.
Okay, I was just going to say, I think it's going to be really good for him because now he has, like, a very, very clear set goal. Like, he has a lot of motivation to work hard. Whereas before, it was kind of like, you can do whatever you want and, you know, kind of just still be run-of-the-mill, like, you're still getting everything you need. But now he has, like, goals that he can work towards. And I think now that he's not on EG, and he's not saying that he's playing competitively, but he's still a really, really good player. And I think that's even, like, now that he's approaching the game from a new angle, he could actually even improve more. When he loses, he's not going to be super frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he actually... I'm pretty sure I heard he played DeMuslim on stream and he didn't leave, right? And he 2-0. Actually ended up beating DeMuslim.
Yeah,
he lost today, though. I mean, but people are going to watch that as it goes on.
Yeah, so I think this could actually just be a really good experience for him to, like, get a different perspective on things, change his mindset, and improve a lot in that regard.
That's a great point, Zappy. That's a great point. Thorze,
Go Thorze.
I kind of forgot what I was going to say, so go to first. I'll try to rethink of whatever it was.
I think, actually, what Suppy said is really smart, too, because, actually, if you watch that Real Talk that Idra did, one of the things he kind of talked about was, now that he's kind of mentally given up on his goal being a professional player, and the... You know, Greg was never like... I don't know if the community knew this, but they probably should. Greg didn't actually enjoy most of, like, the content he had to produce and the kind of day-to-day work you have to do on a team. So there's a very good chance that Greg is now going to fill up his schedule with exactly what he wants to do, playing a game that he may not enjoy as much as he did Brood War, but he'll enjoy it more now that there's not the pressure and stress on him to win, 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 and if he doesn't win, then that's it. So I think we're going to see a more relaxed, fun Greg that streams, which makes for a better stream experience. And then as far as casting goes, as people know, when he casted, like, at WCS... Canada or Toronto with NASL last year, and also when he would make appearances on our team league that Evil Geniuses hosts, he's a phenomenal, if not the best, analytical commentator in probably all of StarCraft 2. So with him focusing on that and perhaps working to do a little bit better with that, I can only see that being a good thing. And I'm just really excited about it. So I'm a little bit sad because I was in those audiences. I was alongside Greg. I was in Korea watching him train when he was trying to be the absolute best, and people forget, but a couple of years ago, at times, he actually was one of the absolute best, and it was a really cool time, because Greg has this, like, this torch that he carries that nobody else, I don't know, that I could never carry. It's this torch that's like, I'm a super nerd, and I'm a fucking badass at the same time. Like, because I'm a big, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, when people look at me, they are surprised to find out I'm a nerd. But when they look at Greg, they're surprised to find out he's a badass, is usually the order of things. So when I saw Greg, like, walk down aisles to his booth, he looked like he fucking owned the stage, and the audience knew it, and they loved it. And I've seen people, like, they're so intimidated by Greg that they write me emails to pass on to him. And the whole I'm like, okay, I guess I'll read your mail. And the whole story is like, dude, I like, you're my inspiration. The way, you know, you keep on battling despite this and that, and just like really, really amazing stuff. But the common storyline is, I'm watching you live your life, and I'm vicariously trying to experience it because I want to be like you. Like, that's so cool. And I'm gonna miss that part of Greg, because I've tried it. You can walk as badass as you want when you're a commentator. It doesn't really work. You can't, like, and now in control and Apollo, and I'm like, fuck yeah, you know, like walking up, like, all right, you're gonna speak real good. Thank you. Like, you're damn right I will. Let's take Apollo. Let's take our seat. You know, like, it doesn't work. So,
all right, Darzin, you have anything to add?
I think it's risky. It's very risky. I hope his kind of personality is allowed to, like, flourish as a caster as well. But you can't really do the same kind of things in the casting. You can't cuss people. You can't be bad-mannered while casting. And I think that, like, I've seen his cast, and it's phenomenal. So I think as a caster, or whatever he chooses to do, and he's a really smart guy, so he's probably going to do just fine. But it's not easy. Like, I think it's almost harder, like, being a good, like, caster personality than a player, because you don't really know what to work for. Like, as a player, you just, like, have to improve your game. You can't really just change your personality if it just doesn't happen to be the right
one.
You're
absolutely right. If Greg gets off, like, a particularly rough binge of him, like, saying really venomous stuff, and then he gets on a plane 2 days later and is off to go commentate an MLG, that will be very short-lived. You're absolutely right. So I think what I would say is I trust Greg to know that, and I hope that... Like, I've been watching his stream the last couple days, and certainly it's just a couple days later, so it's not really fair to judge just yet, but he actually GG'd a couple times, so...
For reals.
He's also commentating, like, a lot, which a lot of people are really enjoying, which I don't think he kind of, like, rarely did before, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny you say that, because it's literally, like, a stream of thought consciousness. Like, it's just, he goes, bloop, and it just turns on, okay, now I'm getting the plus two here, and I'm going to send these over and get that, and they could just be like, bloop, and not
to say anything. To Thorzane's point, though, like, I was watching even today, and he hit Drunken Boy twice, and then State, and the whole time just like, normally this would be microed better, but he's fucking horrible. And that's the stuff that makes Greg famous, so it's obviously like...
Right.
It's not going to lose his job over those kind of comments, but to Thorzane's point, like, if Greg gets selected to cast WCS, or he's actually casting Shoutcraft with Total Biscuit, but, like, literally the day before he was talking about how terrible that player is, and then Greg sits next to John and is like, wow, yeah, he handled that really well. He's a great player. And the people are like, oh my god! Let me make the video right now! You know, like, it's not going to work out too hot.
Yeah, as you said, like, that's kind of why he's so liked, and if he goes more and more away from being a player, he has to stop being the person that people like. And, like, they will probably like his analytical casting as well, but will they like him as much as the badass BM Greg, or will they, like him less? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Greg will be casting Shoutcraft America this weekend with Total Biscuit, so people can tune in and enjoy that pair. I guess let's shift away from that news and the other big discussion piece right now going around, and it is fitting that there happens to be three members from Evil Geniuses here, and that is that Stefano, you know, announcing again that he's going to quit sometime in the future. And before I have you guys give your thoughts, I just want to make an announcement myself that sometime in the future – I will probably retire from broadcasting.
Jesus. I knew this day would come, but
it's going to be on Reddit.
That being said, Stefano says he's going to retire again. Your guys' thoughts? Do you think he's going to? Is he serious?
Well, he said this many times before, but this time he's actually not winning every tournament he enters, so there's more reasons for him to quit. Like, he's still one of the damn best players outside of Korea, right. But, like, he's still not the Stefano he used to be, so maybe now he has, like, more reasons to actually quit.
I feel like if he continued, though, he would at least, like, he would at the very least still be able to sign a very, very good contract, which is still fine enough. Like, you could do another year, and then maybe if you, like, just start losing everything, then you could, you know, then you could decide to quit. But I feel like at this point, he's still quite valuable, and he would be able to get a pretty good contract that would make it worth it to stay another year.
Yeah. When I spoke with him in Korea, I think he wasn't even sure about what he was going to do afterwards, after the gaming career. So I guess he figured that out. I still haven't talked with him about it, so I'll have to do that.
Seppi.
And
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Like the previous times he said that he was going to quit, it was at the start of like a school year. So he had like 1 year to win tournaments, basically. And now he has like 3 months, 2 months to decide. So there's much less time to change your mind.
Right. Right.
I think, I mean, he's definitely said in the past, so kind of the easy thing is like the boy who cried wolf, you know, yeah, I said that before, and then he didn't do it. I take him pretty serious this time, because I think him saying that over and over again is not him, like, arriving at an idea and then completely bailing on it. I think it's more him delaying that idea. So certainly he could delay retiring and going into school, but he's actually always been pretty serious about being very smart about planning for his life and not having his exit strategy be esports. And to be honest with you, I think that's really wise because, you know, we just got done talking about Greg, who is retired from competitive playing, but he has a potential future in casting and he is a desired guest on shows and he has the work ethic to stream every day and make his money that way. Whereas Stefano, when I look at those different categories and I think of him as a non-player, it's no slander to him, and I'm sure he would agree. It's not the same. He's not going to commentate. He does not enjoy that. He likes to make appearances on shows, but he doesn't really get into the show itself. He just likes to kind of be a rock star / goof off for 10 minutes, and then he's bored with it already. And then, of course, he enjoys streaming, but will he enjoy streaming if, like, let's say his viewership declines because he's no longer a very present figure? I don't think so. So I actually respect the crap out of him for being very realistic about his future and planning to go back into the real world. I think the thing that I lament and I'm sad about is that while he's not taking down absolutely every single tournament like he used to, he's still absolutely one of the best. And as a young guy collecting a check to be a rock star and be famous at something that he'll... I mean, I'm going to be realistic here. Maybe he goes on to be a fantastic whatever it is he is in his field, but he probably won't be the Stefano of that field. That's probably the case.
Right.
So I feel bad that a young guy is putting up the cleats, as it were, for a career that has gotten him to this rock star status to go be perhaps a little bit more faceless and just kind of a number. But again, people find happiness in different things. So if that's always what he wants to do, who are we to say that's a terrible choice? It's his choice. And whatever one he makes is going to be the right or wrong one based on what he feels about it afterwards. So I'm sad because he's a great teammate. And this news comes at a time when we just lost Idra.
Sure.
So it's kind of like getting kicked while you're down. But at the same time, I respect the shit out of him staying committed to that. And it's not like he's like leaving to go spend all his money on a sex trip in Taiwan or something like that. Like he's like trying to commit to a better future. So how much upset can we actually throw his direction? You know what I mean?
Or so we think. No. Okay. No, some great points by all of you. If there's no other thoughts, then let's move on to our next topic.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to mention, like, what do you guys think about, you know, is it going to be tough for him to... Sorry.
No. That's what you're supposed to do, Suppy. I'm proud of you. Like, wait, shut the fuck up, man. I've got something to say.
Go ahead. I'm just wondering, like, what do you guys think on how he's going to be able to transition? Do you think it's going to be a very tough transition? Because this is a guy who's been playing Warcraft and Starcraft for, like, his entire childhood, pretty much, the past, like, 10 years, maybe. Like, and I feel like it'd be really hard to just all of a sudden go from this rock star status to, like, all right, now I'm going to, like, sit down and, like, study and, like, become a doctor or whatever he wants to do. I feel like transition could potentially be very difficult. You don't think so?
No. Well, I lived with him for 2 months, and he's actually very down to earth if you get to know him. Like, he doesn't think of himself as like the best person in the world, or like, he can be arrogant at times, but he knows he's like, he won't be affected by his former stardom. He will be like fine.
Yeah, I have to agree. I've seen Stefano like put his mind to something, and then he just kind of very much so does it. But also, I think Stefano's like part-time character actor, to be honest with you. Like, I've had conversations with him where he's accidentally said super fucking intelligent things, and I'm like, wait a second, what'd you say? And he's like, what they mean is, fuck you, you're stupid. And I'm like, whoa, no, what'd you say before that? He's like, whatever, I don't care. And he like walks away. But I've heard it, I've seen it, and I know he's a very smart guy.
He's smart.
Time he puts on this like, where's the bitches, you know, like this weird, I can't do a French accent to save my life, but I think he puts on a little bit more.
I think he has like both personalities at the same time. I don't think anyone, like any of the two Stefanos are fake. Like sometimes he'll be speaking like as if he's some kind of master philosopher, and the next minute he wants to just fuck bitches.
Yeah.
This just then confirms split personality. Okay, well, let me ask from the flip side, because let's like Thorzane says, you know what, he's not going to have any problems sort of like giving up that lifestyle. But like, as a gamer, like, can Stefano give that up? Because you tell me to give up my games and I will run. I will turn around and run as far away from you as I can. So is Stefano like, what do you?
I'm the wrong guy to ask, because literally this is, I'm 27. I've been doing this since I was 12. I have never once quit. Ever, because I know I can't. So when I think about it, like when I'm thinking like, you know what, I am tired of playing games for a living. I want to go back to studying and making no money, not being, you know, I just want to do school. Yeah. Is that weird? It's such a weird, I can't imagine. It's like when girls are like, does anybody else just want to dance? I don't even want to flirt or be with another person. I just want to dance. That doesn't make sense to me. Dancing is a means to an end. It's not an actual fun thing to do. I don't get it. So,
yeah, like I feel like if I was in his position, I couldn't just like go to medical school and like completely go cold turkey on all gaming and like not watch any StarCraft like anything. Like, I'm sure he's still gonna like watch a stream, and then, you know, maybe that's gonna be like, oh man, I remember when I used to do that, and like he'll always have like gaming in his life. I don't know how much he's gonna like throw it away. Like, is he gonna stop streaming entirely? Is he gonna stop playing entirely? I don't know, like, if it's that ingrained in your life that it's like so easily thrown away.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, I think he wasn't really playing that much in the house, and he wasn't really doing, like, the things he says, like, I don't practice much and I don't follow the scene, is actually quite true. Like, he doesn't, whenever he was up at the same time as me in Korea, we kind of had, like, the opposite time thing going on. Then he would, like, just watch movies he watched, like, 3-4 movies a day. That's what he did.
Really good.
And then
movie
at the evenings, he was like, Marcus, let's go party, let's go do illegal stuff.
So you guys went to Korean dance clubs?
Go to the
booking
clubs.
Yeah,
but Jeff, I heard in the lair he played a lot. Like, he practiced a lot.
He's kind of funny. If he's unhappy or has, like, in my opinion, a reason to kind of put off that he's not really trying, like a big tournament's coming up. If he's around other people, from what I understand, he really won't play that much. By no means am I saying that he's like a secret Korean Bonjwa in terms of practice who like puts in 15-hour days. He's never done that, but he will put in pretty hardcore, like 4 or 5 hour days. But if there's people around him, he likes to like off race and not play and watch movies and just like broadcast. He's not really trying. That way, if he loses at a tournament, he can always say like, "I didn't practice."
All right.
Which is fine if you're winning tournaments, by the way. Like, nobody criticized him when he was winning tournaments, but now it's kind of like, maybe that's why he announced he wants to retire.
Maybe. Maybe. August 15th was the date, and I'm going to go ahead and shift this gears right now. Otherwise, the posts are going to start coming out. Thanks for the 40-minute, you know, discussion on Idra and stuff, even though we talked about a lot of other stuff.
Yeah,
actually,
pieces.
Let's talk about Shoutcraft America, where, you know, at least three of the four hosts care about this. Thorzane might just, I don't know, like, what's a gesture from your country that would be like, you know, like giving the bird, like, you know, is there?
I think it would be like the same thing, giving the bird.
Oh, that's
I never heard
one?
It called that way before, but
there's another. Mm. There's nothing unique, like.
British people do the. Don't they do? Isn't it like this?
I don't know.
They go like this. Yeah, that's right.
What is it? What do they do?
I think it's like this.
It's like outward peace instead of like a forward, like a piece.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's two fingers, not just the one middle finger.
You got to be careful. Do your research traveling overseas, man. You never know what you might be doing when you're not.
Sup, he flips double birds sometimes. He has his Asian impression. Just before he loses to Hello Kitty.
And you know what? The segue is complete as we make the way over. Shoutcraft America took place. Group number one was played out. Group A and B have already been played, rather. And we had, B and C played. Thank you. On May 11th and May 12th. Suppy, I don't know if you know this, Suppy, but the 12th was my birthday.
Yeah,
what
know.
Did you want
and
for your birthday week?
You know what?
What was the only thing you wanted?
I my wife asked me beforehand. I said, Jen, the only thing in the whole world I want is to watch Suppy just absolutely destroy Hello Kitty, because you know what? I hate Protoss too. And I feel like it's my win too. And she was like, honey, I'll do everything in my power to try to get you this victory.
And Suppy, Wheat's like halfway there. He doesn't have a lot of birthday wishes left, man. this is like, it's way more valuable. Like, if I made a birthday wish, whatever. I've got like 60 more of those things.
Yeah,
Wheat's on his he's on his back nine, man.
No, in all seriousness, though, Kane and Hello Kitty do advance. But Suppy, one of the nice things about Inside the Games, we get to discuss some of the games there. And Hello Kitty threw some nasty Protoss aggression your way. And I'd love to hear you talk about it and some of your games this past weekend.
Freaking cheesy all-in bastard. I'm actually pretty good friends with Hello Kitty. I hung out with him in MLG Anaheim. And so, like, it's no hard feelings. So I'm definitely, like, really disappointed that I actually lost to him, because I usually beat him on ladder, and I wasn't really worried for him. And I guess I do kind of deserve it, though, because I wasn't really preparing, like, at all. I wasn't able to prepare. I would play, like, a couple hours a day, but for most part, I was just studying.
He deserved it just because he was studying for his final exam.
Yeah, but I can't even use that for an excuse, because apparently he had his finals, like, a couple days before as well.
I'll do it for you. You go to Berkeley, he goes to a school in Texas.
Oh. I like how Suppy's like, doesn't say, no comment. You did it.
No Chance comment.
Is right. You did it for him.
He's not used to shit talking. He's not sure where I'm going with this. Jeff, was that mean? I can't tell. I only hear good things. Yeah, well.
So, you guys had the opening matchup, I guess, or your opening matchup was versus Hello Kitty. I'll use your exact words, cheesy ass bastard, I think is what you just used. But can you talk to us a little bit about that and those games?
The first game he went for some crazy one gate into four gate all in with like hallucinated zealots. So like my roaches were attacking hallucinated zealots instead of like the real zealots. And apparently he's learned all these builds from like the Chinese Protosses. So just like it was basically just all ins every game, and I basically a lot of failure for me to scout properly at the correct times. I don't really face that many Protosses on ladder as well, so a little tough there. But apparently he took a lot of builds from the Chinese Protosses, which if you notice, Jim got like number one on Korea GM, and that's who he was watching. So it's one thing to note.
Yeah.
Hallucinated zealots. That sounds nasty.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But I don't know. I'm pretty happy. I'm still happy for him to get through because I really like how ShopCraft America is bringing like new players to the spotlight and giving new opportunities for people who wouldn't otherwise have them. And I know that Hello Kitty and Drunken Boy both received like over $500 in donations. So that's
nice.
Yeah, it's like crazy for two players who previously haven't had like that much success. They're getting to taste some success.
I kept trying to give you my money, but then
I lost.
I was like, next game, I'm gonna get something next.
I was like, you win this one, I'll tip you this much. And he's like, arr. And then you lose it. So I tried.
What about your games versus Masa?
Which you
won, and then
I think a lot of it carried over from my practice with the Muslim and all my other practice partners from the previous week. And Masa's one of the best Terrans in all of North America, so I was actually still pretty scared that I was going to lose. I was behind the first game, but he afterwards said he didn't play that well either. So, and also I felt more confident in my ZVT than maybe my ZVP just because I had practiced it so much more extensively, so I was able to take him out 2-0.
Who was the fourth guy in the group? Kane?
Yeah, Kane.
Okay.
Who went 4-0. Hello Kitty, Suppy, and Masa. And Group D will play on May 17th featuring State, QXC, Xenocider, and RSVP, which is kind of nice that at least you're going to get some Protoss or Terran out of that group as well.
So.
Thank you, QXC, for sure. We'll make it out.
Very interesting to watch. He always has like these tiny things that he does different from everybody else, like these strats or just like tiny quirks to his play. So he's fun to watch.
He is. Any other thoughts? Just wanted to give updates. Wanted to hear from Suppy. Suppy lost the final series 2-1. That was about 7 o'clock my time. About the time I was curled up in a ball in the corner, realizing I wasn't going to get my birthday wish, but it was okay.
I'm sorry.
It's always next time.
I'll make it up to you at WCS.
All right. Well, that was going to be my next question. So, no, you know, it doesn't feel weird that you're like, you know, qualifying for WCS, but you didn't quite, you know, make the cut for ShoutCraft America. You're okay with that?
I was disappointed, but I deserved it for not practicing enough. So.
All right. Well, start practicing then, buddy. After this final, this physics final.
Yeah.
Then you know. Okay. Let's talk about the other big StarCraft League going on right now. For weeks, we talked about the details of it. We even bitched about it here. We praised it here. And now it is in full swing. And that is the WCS. Korea already playoffs underway. U.S. round of 16 starts on May 20th. And today, the round of 16 started in Europe. And I'd love to talk about that. Starting now, we had our first group, TLO, MMA, 4GG, and Strelok. Raise your hand if you watched the games. I watched them. Suppy. That's what I figured. Out of you. No.
Studying I was cheering again. For TLO. He made it.
He did. And I kind of wish you would have seen it just because I felt like TLO had some really interesting play. Doing swarm host drops into a Terran mechs main and really just kind of like pushing from multiple fronts in that way. And I can only imagine the attention that each of those little, you know, groups takes to pull something like that off. But he did a really good job.
This is against Strelok.
Yes. That was
I watched his games effort. Against, well, who was it? 4GG. And well, there wasn't really much to say about those games. Like, 4GG did, like, two base all in every single game, and TLO just dealt with it.
Stopped it, right.
TLO has been pretty publicized as saying that he plays more games against 4GG than, I guess, anybody else. So, and he says he wins, like, the vast majority of them, I believe.
Is that practice or, like, just ladder encounters? Okay. Yeah,
4G is the ladder monster.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And TLO is actually up at the top of that EU ladder for a while there as well, if not still is. But yeah, it's just, I guess what is interesting to me is, like, even going into that, I originally was like, nah, two Korean Terrans and Strelok's mech looks just beast mode. But then I heard myself doing what I've done for the last, like, five tournaments that TLO has played in, where he then demolished the predictions that I would make, and I was like, you know what? fuck it, he's gonna win. So I actually picked him for my like Team Liquid Liquibet thing or whatever. I picked him to make it out of the group, and he did. He 4-0'd like really, really well. But it's just kind of a cool result for TLO because he's not one of those guys that puts out there like, I don't really play. I'm just, you know, it's kind of fun, so this is what I do in my free time. No, the guy like has actually looked into and used a life coach of sorts. This guy is like remodeling his life and breaking down his work ethic and, okay, 4-1, excuse me. And TLO is like on that level of approach in terms of wanting to win. And if you see that kind of dedication and then it paying off with results, who the fuck cannot be a fan and not be excited for him and happy? I mean, if you're not, then I don't know, like sports must be really frustrating to you because that's what it's all about, is seeing someone work hard and get results, and then you're like, cool, that's an awesome story.
Let's actually talk about the opposite end of the spectrum where we see, you know, someone considered a great champion. I'm sure that the phrase the best Terran in the world was thrown around many times by Tastosis when originally casting this member. And that's MMA, who went 1-4 today and just, you know, didn't look to be necessarily in terrible shape, but everyone just looked to be in a little bit better shape. I don't know. I mean, Thorzane, as you saw in some of the TBTs, what were your thoughts on it?
I actually just saw the first two games he played against Strelok. And I didn't watch them really that well, but like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like the MMA we're used to seeing like 1.5 years ago. It's a shame because he's like my favorite Terran, so yeah. I really want him to do well. But I don't know, I feel bad for him. Like, I don't really know what the problem is.
If it just, it's tough, like, too, because he moved to Germany for this, by the way, guys. He lives in Germany for WCS. He takes last in that group, so now he's down in Challenger. So certainly his journey is not over, and he's got a great shot in Challenger. But that's the level of commitment that he's putting out there. And think about, what if he did get bounced out of Challenger? He like waits another month until the reason he moved to Germany may come into fruition again? That's insane.
It is. Yeah. It is. But, I mean, that's also the storyline of the WCS, and that, you know, sort of anything can and will indeed happen. And real quickly, WCS EU continues throughout the week. B, C, and D will all be played out. Tomorrow's group consists of Vortex, Baby Knight, Naniwa, and Happy. Thursday's group, Sase, Lucifer, Nurchio, and MVP. And the final group will be Feast, Damaga, Thorzane, and Stefano.
And what do you think of your group, Marcus?
Yeah.
No Koreans, no TVT. Still good players, but like, I prefer not to play against Koreans or Terrans, so it feels okay.
And your opening matchup is versus Damaga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would be your like perfect scenario for how this group played out in your mind?
Well, I win 2-0, and then next round I win 2-0. And then,
well, who would you rather play? Really, like Feast or Stefano?
Thanks.
I think I'll probably focus more on TVC. And I want to play against Stefano again. Like,
get revenge.
I can't, like, before he quits StarCraft, I have to be the guy who won against him the last time we played. So, like,
worth noting, by the way, Stefano and Feast seemingly have some pretty bad blood. They played for something else recently, and Feast, after the games, basically called out Stefano, because Stefano, I guess, in between the games was saying that he's a shit player. And
was that Baby Knight also?
You know what? It was Baby Knight. You know why I'm confusing this, though? Is because at DreamHack Open, Stefano wasn't happy with losing to Feast there.
This is how bad things happen.
That's why I'm confusing it. But it was Baby Knight. You're right. So, false alarm. But he still doesn't like losing to Feast, so that's kind of fun. It's just that Feast is such a fucking manner bear that I don't know if I've ever seen anyone actually say something bad to him.
He doesn't like losing?
To him in particular. Feast plays a wonky style, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Come on, Thorzane.
It's like losing to Hello Kitty. That's how you feel.
Ooh.
My birthday dreams.
I don't know. I think Feast might be... Is it 100 times better than... Let me do the math real quick. No,
well, yeah, he macros way more, right? Like, I don't.
What are you talking about? Hello Kitty is a. Didn't he say his specialty is macro?
Yeah, I thought his specialty was Blinkstalkers.
I'm just kidding. You know what? All the crap we're giving Hello Kitty. Big shout out though for what he did against Hart, actually, because he tried 3 all-ins. They all failed. The forums are lighting him up, and then he's like, "All right, I will macro." And then in the macro games, he actually beat Hart, who's a pretty fucking good Korean Terran.
Yeah.
So as much as we tease him, so people know this, by the way, in the background, like Suppy's good friends with him. I'm not particularly good friends with him, but I do like the tease because he's actually kind of a funny, jovial character. But he is, like, if you don't know this, extremely cheesy. Like, every time he beats me, I'm always like, God damn it, I can't believe he did that. Like, I cannot believe he did that. It's like really crazy stuff that you're like, that shouldn't work. And then it does. And you're like, damn it.
And then you're like, it'll never work again, ever.
It works the next game. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he does another crazy one. Yeah, he's kind of a frustrating guy to play against.
We've got, of course, keep your eyes locked on it. It's all week long on the WCS EU channel on Twitch. And then on the 20th, well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's actually talk about WCS KR because they are further along than everyone else. In fact, already at the playoffs, the first set of best of 5 quarterfinal matches took place last night, which featured Solki and Parting and SOS and Kongho, aka Losira. Tonight we've got, just a super sexy line. Wait, this might be Thursday. I better shut my mouth and double check. But Roro and Innovation and Bomber and Symbol, which I'm really looking forward to. Did anyone happen to catch GSL matches, Solki and Parting?
I watched it all, yeah. I watched that match last night, actually.
I did too. Let me ask Seppi, did you see it?
But I can't wait. I haven't seen it yet, but I can't wait to see Parting's death and demise.
Oh. We'll definitely have to maybe chat about it a little bit after you have a chance to see it.
Suppy's just mad because Parting called him out for having terrible pro gaming spirit, and what did he say?
He was like, Koreans are willing to, like,
spirit is what it was, right?
Yeah, it was something about spirit, like, I can't remember, actually, to be honest. It's like...
Dubby hurt his spirit by watching the replays before the match or something like that.
Yeah.
Trying to learn about it.
Wow.
What was annoying is because I was playing Loli before that match, and Loli would, after each game, would watch the replay, and I, like, contacted the admin. I was like, wait, can he do that? And he was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's allowed. So then the next one, I just asked Scarlet if I could watch her replays against him a long time
Little before. Stuff you know. He's pissing off.
Yeah, I know. And then Parting got really pissed. Soul Train.
It is Thursday, by the way. So, just like maybe chat about the games a little bit, Jeff. I mean, what did you think of the matchups that we saw? I feel like the Solki Parting matches were much more exciting and maybe technical than the SOS Lysira matches. But I don't know. I feel like Lysira plays Zerg like a robot, so that's just...
I'm so sad for Lysira.
I am too.
He's my favorite Zerg by, like, far. Him and Koka.
Yeah?
I just want him to do, well, win a GSL, please. I'll be so happy.
Is that all you want?
Yeah.
We're quickly finding out who all of Thorzane's idols are per race. So that's good information to know, you guys.
I keep my Protoss one hidden.
It's you, Jeff.
Solki versus Parting, Jeff. Let's talk about this one just a little bit. I mean, Solki came out really, really fighting hard. Parting came back with a couple of quick 1-2s himself, and then they had that crazy game where it looked like Solki was gonna have a really early win, but it ended up going much longer game, and Parting ended up taking it. But in your mind, your thoughts, what'd you think of this matchup, this best of 5 between Solki and Parting?
Well, first of all, if you haven't watched it and you want to be spoiler-free, you're going to have to go away now. But second of all, I do highly recommend that everyone watch this best of 5 because it goes the distance. And almost each game is kind of an individual capsule of a different aspect of ZVP right now. They both do a really cool job of incorporating Gateway Expand, Nexus right. First. On the other side, the Zerg player is doing Roach, Hydra, Viper, or he's doing Swarm Host play. There was Broodlords, there was Ultralis. There was just a really cool mix of everything, including Infestors as well. But the kind of Infestors, by the way, just before I get too far down this path, that I really like. You never saw 20 Infestors. That's incorrect these days. It's more like 6 Infestors just to add like auxiliary support, just jumping, lobbing in those Fungals to hold things still so Corruptors can do damage or Ultras can do damage. That's really cool stuff that still a lot of Zergs are kind of lacking. But as far as the series itself, I really liked it because it showed, like I said, kind of the different aspects of ZVP, but it also showed some of the struggles, and I'm, of course, near and dear to this, and you know, Suppy can speak to it on the flip side or somebody, but as a Protoss player, I feel like Swarm Hosts are very powerful on some maps, and we got to see those on Daybreak, which I thought was no mistake, and Parting was very close a few times to breaking them down, and I feel like lesser Zergs do get broken down there, and they're like, oh, Swarm Hosts are terrible. You hear about that from some Zergs. But Solki maintained static D with it. He was constantly focusing down observers. Like, he would have 20 Corruptors amidst Void Rays, Tempest, and Colossus, and he would actually snipe the observers first, and that was such a key thing because it turned out in the background, Party only had one Robo, whereas most Protoss have two Robos, but even so, he was having a tough time being able to detect the Swarm Host, which meant as the game went on, Parting was landing perfect storms. He was expanding and holding. He was winning battles, but he was getting ground down very slowly by the Swarm Hosts, in particular because of that map where Swarm Hosts defend bases but also attack almost simultaneously. And I felt like that was a really cool thing to see because a lot of Protoss have a very tough time there. But on the flip side, Zergs aren't really doing that all the time because they have a tough time there too, which is really odd to me. So I thought it was a good example.
I want to, and we'll ask Suppy what he thinks about the Swarm Host, but I want to ask you, Jeff, you know, obviously as an observer, as an audience member, you have the vision of God, right? You see everything. And one of the things about playing that style and probably playing against that style is that you know that there are windows of opportunities to go forth and kick ass. Like, you know that, like, this might be the opportunity for me to actually go in, get a couple of these Swarm Hosts, start to make a move and gain ground. And it seemed like there were several times during that particular match where Parting could have gone. Like, if he would have hit in that 25-second, 30-second window, it would have been completely different. But because he didn't, or some Ling swung around the back and distracted, distracted Parting for just that little bit, I felt like the game could have gone either way, like at any moment of the game. And I thought for certain Parting was going to end up taking it. But it's interesting style because what you described, and I'm not by no means good, but that's kind of how I feel and why as a novice player I shy away from it because it's so intense in its timings and having the support units, etc. But I'm certainly seeing a lot of the top-level StarCraft players really throw it in great display. But Suppy, I mean, what to your or to Jeff's point about the Swarm Host, what are your thoughts on it all?
It seems like Swarm Hosts have like a lot of potential once people start figuring out how to use them more. Personally, I haven't really been using them that much because I've always felt like once there's three Colossus out, it's kind of like a timing thing where the Swarm Hosts are really good and then three Colossus come out and then they kind of suck. But then now you're seeing all the people put up all the static D, which is making them able to stay for even longer and like pulling Colossus into the with the Vipers, pulling them into the static D with your Swarm Hosts and stuff. So I think it's getting definitely better. I've been more personally a fan of like Hydra Ling style, switch into like Mutas all of a sudden, or like go Roach Hydra Viper and like do lots of tech switches, kind of Leanok style. But
One second. I think my WCS America stream is playing music. Sorry about that. All of a sudden, some crazy shit started playing, like a crowd cheered and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? And then, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, all I was going to say is just, I think Swarm Host's play is definitely becoming more figured out and has a lot of potential. Personally, I haven't used it that much, though, so.
Okay. I think it's still a style that is evolving, as we saw over the course of the last couple days. Two sort of unique usage scenarios where the Storm Host was used. TLL.
I think.
And
yeah, I think another game that's really cool that kind of stands out is actually the Acheron Waste one. Tastosis was going bonkers over the comeback from Parting, and certainly it was a comeback. But I think one of the kind of cool things that displayed too is when two pretty fleshed out strategies collide, and then there's near perfect micro on one side versus the other. Parting, if anything, his Templar use, but really his overall battle micro in general, is just like it reminds me of MC back in the day when MC was the guy landing force fields that nobody else could. Except Parting is also doing that kind of micro with Templar and Blinkstalker micro that's just unparalleled. But the Acheron Waste game, where he actually gets ran over by Lings, he barely holds on, pushes out, secures his three bases, pretty standard. But he then makes the choice to go Colossus Templar, which is the response to Viper. So if you scout Hive, that's what you do. If you scout Spire but no Hive, it's chances are it's either Corruptors or it's Mutalists, so you kind of have to confirm that. But if it's Corruptors, typically you want either more Stalkers or Void Rays or both if you can afford it. But he goes Templar, and Roach Hydra Viper, a very good strategy, but not a great wall-busting attack strategy if you're facing a player that's like Parting, where they don't miss a feedback.
Right.
Because I'll tell you what, that was gorgeous. Like, the second those Vipers hit the range of the feedback, boom, 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 like four of them went down.
Yeah.
And that army without Vipers gets demolished by Colossus. So
how can you even afford High Templar Colossus?
Like, well, you can only have, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to get a lot of Stalkers, so it was one of those things where, like, he probably trimmed on, maybe he didn't have, like, three attack upgrade going. I think he only had, like, three Colossus. He didn't have, like, the five or six that sometimes you'll see against that style. And then as far as Templar goes, it's not like you have seven or eight of them. He had, like, three, I think.
Oh, you just used them to feedback?
Just feedback.
Yeah, you don't even need to get Storm right away. Just feedback. Okay. And
if
then
you don't have feedback, you're dead. They tug three Colossus out of that army, you've got a bunch of Stalkers versus Roach Hydra, you're dead.
What's so the range? Is it the same? Like, feedback versus Vipers?
I think feedback has plus one on Abduct, but don't quote me
on
that.
We'll look.
I think that's right. I'm not sure, though.
The thing is, with the animation of Abduct, a lot of times you can feedback the Viper, but it's still tugging him anyways. So what you have to do a lot of times is as the Vipers are coming forward, you grab your Colossus and pull them back and your Templar forward. And the Vipers will pursue, and then you feedback them that way.
They're equal.
Oh, they're equal?
Oh, equal. Okay.
So if they...
But...
If they abduct the High Templars, what happens first, the feedback or the abduct?
I think even if they're feedback, the abduct still takes place.
Yeah, the animation completes.
Yeah.
I think the abduct happens too fast. Like, even if you kill the Viper as is abducting, I think technically it will drop the unit, but it's like the travel time of the abduct is, what, a second or something like that? So I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, like, drop off a unit too often. But Parting executed that perfectly, then shoved forward against Roach Hydra and ends up winning the game while taking a fourth behind it. I thought that was amazing. But I like how the series ended, too, because I think that's an important lesson for all of us to learn. Like, it's Star Station, a terrible map to take a third on. So kind of the aura of the game was, I'm going to two-base timing you. And one of the best answers to two-base timing that we've learned thus far is Mutalis, and I'm sure Suppy would either confer or deny. Actually, you won all your games against Parting doing that, basically, didn't you?
I lost one game. It was Ohana. It was the third game. But it was mostly Miss Micro. I tried to engage his army instead of just, like, going straight for his base or something. But yeah, like, building a lot of spines and then just going Mutas, and they don't have anything to defend at home,
yeah,
pretty much. So.
So it kind of ended in a classic way, like Mutalisk, Ling, counter. And then the Protoss slowly realizes that they're once again in a base trade, and there's nothing they can do. Like, we saw Parting recall back, but that's actually a losing maneuver as well, because unless you've, like, killed two of their three bases and are recalling back to like, save your one last base, you're buying time to the same result. You know what I'm saying? So it was an interesting series.
And I believe Thursday will be the final round of eight matches.
What did you say we're playing on Thursday?
Innovation Roro is one of them, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, that one. And then Bomber and Symbol.
Oh, yeah. So two TVZs.
Yeah.
They're both so evenly matched. Like, Bomber, Symbol, who will win, I have no idea. Roro, Innovation. Like, Roro is defending champion, right? But Innovation is Innovation, so...
Innovation is making a run for being, in my opinion, the best StarCraft II player right now. And you can say that about him, but unless you win a GSL, I feel like that's just like...
Yeah, but you know what, Jeff? I feel like a lot of people are saying this is it. This is the one for him.
I'll give it a little bit more time. Like, I really don't like saying he's the best, that guy's the best, after just like... What did he do? Like, this GSL season, is that why? Because he advanced from the Group of Death? Like, at MLG, he was like fourth.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, super good. And, like, he hasn't won anything yet, so until he wins something.
Let me explain how this works, Thorzane.
Okay. I'm listening.
Marcus is going to explain it to you,
Let me break
Hang
this
on.
Down.
Okay.
Innovation.
Do you need a notepad?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. Innovation plays on GOM TV.
Mm-hmm.
Tasteless and Artosis go on to call Innovation one of the most amazing players that they have ever witnessed before.
Mm.
Artosis reinforces this by bringing in Brood War facts.
Oh, yeah?
And the next day, Innovation is the next winner of GSL, according
I
to
heard
Tasteless
say that Innovation is the best player to ever touch an RTS game today,
so,
I think.
So... In wow. this time,
wow.
so far, Tasteless and Artosis have been pretty right on this one. Like, innovation.
That would mean that
been...
Innovation is better than Flash was in Brood War.
I don't
know.
Artosis curse. So if they're claiming this is the GSL, he's
did he
win.
Say that? Did Artosis say that?
I don't
did
think he... Artosis necessarily said that Innovation
Not
is going to win this one.
If he says
he
he's
going to
win, it's over.
No,
you know
I don't
that.
Think he has. I don't think.
No chance to recover from that.
No. So. But I'm joking, but in all seriousness, that is how a lot of the hype behind, I think, Innovation kind of started. I mean, he posted some results, but third, fourth, GSL Season 5 and 2013 MLG Winter Championship are his only tournament results, third place in that, you know, he has posted.
Well, it's a couple things. Yeah, you know, give credit where credit's due, actually.
Pro League,
ironically,
obviously.
Results are a big deal, but it was results coming off the back of Major actually hyping him up. Which is kind of cool, but, you know, Major went on State of the Game and said that he thinks he's the best player, and whether people agree with him or not, that brought attention to him, because State of the Game is a very popular show. And then he went on to get those results you're talking about, and people started to believe it, and now he's looking, not just getting the results, but looking like the best player. Like, he doesn't just win, he wins against the best, and he wins in convincing fashion. I mean, making it number one out of the Group of Death, that's that Group of Death, that is sick.
Yeah. Innovation also all killed EG Liquid on May 5th, 2013.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Weed.
Which, you know.
If you'll check
throwing that out
there. Your email about your conduct on all, you know, not supposed to mention losses.
Yeah, first the Hello Kitty thing and now this.
This is terrible, Weed. You've lost your passion.
I've obviously lost my passion. I'm burning up over here, too. Like, this sun is killing me. So let's talk about U.S. WCS, which right now the Challenger Series is going on. The Premier League, it starts Thursday, I believe. Is that the 20th?
20th.
Oh, that's next Monday.
Monday.
I believe. Yes, the 20th is when it starts. And we are now, of course, into the next phase of this. And if I bring it up. Got a kind of interesting. Oh my god, I actually have to look. Okay. I actually had to make sure I was on the right page, guys, because, you know, here we go. See one American flag in there.
Good.
It belongs to Suppy. Wait, we do that one more time, Suppy, for full effect, maybe? Just there we go. All right.
America.
So it plays over next week. And not only do we have the Zerg Group of Death with Nestisen and Snoot with Alicia in there, but you've got the Terran Group of Death on the other side with Violet up against Polt, Ryung, and Alive. And guys, it is kind of funny, but this is your North American WCS round of 16.
You know what I'm pissed about?
What?
I'm pissed that they put the two last remaining North American players.
Weed says what and gets up and walks off. Look at this guy.
I thought he already closed the window. But
what? hang on, I'll pretend to still be listening. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exact. That's exactly right. Yeah. No, you have Scarlet first, don't you?
No, I have Revival first, which is another EG team kill, just like the Stefano Thorzane group.
That part was very sad. You know what? I look at it as kind of a compliment. I mean, if you're gonna make it to that next round with this second hardest WCS, then you want it to be like this, you know, difficult.
Well, shouldn't you be happy to have like a non-Korean in your group?
There's like two sides to it because I mean, I'm just talking about from like a North American standpoint, like. The good aspect is we probably have a higher chance of advancing with two of us in the same group. But the bad part of it is we also have the possibility of knocking each other out, which would just be really sad because I feel like, I don't know, I'd really like to see like North American representation in like the top 8, top 4, if possible. So
as a member of Team Evil Geniuses on the Inside the Evil Geniuses show, I'd like to say that what I want to happen is you're going to 2-1, barely edge out Revival. It's a great series. Revival drops down. Scarlet beats Hero. Great series there as well. Revival then beats Hero.
And then beats Scarlet.
And then Revival beats Scarlet. So that Scarlet can take third in the group, what? But you two make it out.
Puppet Not master then. In control over here. Like.
It's up to your last hope.
Go. Bring it home. That starts next Monday. So
be like your ancestors before you. You're going to have to lay down the tracks for America and make your way through the WCS.
Let's do it. Do it. Are you going to do it, Suppy?
That was the Cantonese.
Come on. What? Oh. No, that was a fucking amazing joke. I get zero. Thorzane.
I liked it.
I laughed. Do you not
learn about America in your high schools?
Come on. He would not. He would not get that joke.
Come on.
Yeah, what the hell is going on? I just... what?
Exactly. I'll tell you what.
Since when did the Chinese build America?
Quick lesson for Thorzane. Wheat, do you want to give it to him?
Go for it. Are you going to talk about like our railroads and stuff?
Yeah, Wheat. Imagine he's Mini Wheat. How would you explain to him what the Chinese did in America?
I guess I'd just sit him down and I don't know, maybe use Pokemon as reference. You see, Pikachu needed to get across the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he couldn't do that, you know, just trying to walk across the United States. It's not easy. Yeah, you could die of all sorts of Pokemon-infested diseases that you could catch from other wild Pokemon.
Pikachu needed a Pikachu.
Exactly, Jeff. Why, you just pick up the story from that point. So Pikachu needed a choo-choo. Yeah.
Pikachu had an idea that he needed a Pikachu-choo. So we were like, who can we get to build Pikachu-choos? And quite frankly, we knew that the Snorlaxes were lazy, but if you put them to work, they work really hard for not a lot of money. So we brought in a bunch of Snorlaxes.
You just gotta play the flute.
Oh my god. Fail! Abort analogy!
Oh wow.
Anyways, they built it.
I know that the chat is really upset because Pokemon is Japanese, but it wasn't the relation there. The Pokemon was there to explain to Mini Wheat why anyone would even want to get across the United States because the Pokemon was injured and he needed to go to the Pokemon Center and it was all the way across the United States. Only had one in the 1800s. So.
Yeah.
There we go.
And that's the story of how the Chinese built America.
Hmm.
Yeah, for the Pokemon. One more thing, and then we're going to take some open phones.
You know what I thought of that whole time we're doing that is South Park.
Shit Pokemon?
No, yeah, when they're talking about Bomb Pearl Harbor, like, Bomb Pearl Harbor! You didn't see this episode?
Oh, God, yeah, I've seen it. Thank you, come on. Yeah, of course, man. Every single one, yeah. Only back then there was one Pokemon Center. Okay, let's see.
Straight-faced Thorzane. You didn't see that episode of... God damn it, Thorzane.
Of what?
South Park?
Pokemon? South Park?
Oh, I watched a lot of South Park. Like, I never remember anything of anything I watch. I just watch it and then I watch it and then the next day I don't remember anything.
I totally agree. I read a book and then I don't even remember anything.
Are you guys serious?
Well, books are okay for me because I read like one book every 3 years, so there's not a lot to like get lost in. But like when it comes to series and stuff,
I have like
I think I watched
problem.
every South Park episode, probably. But like, not the new ones since like a couple of months, but
if I remember a scene from a movie, I'm like, I don't want to watch it. Because I remember that one scene. It's like I have to completely forget something before I partake in it again. I'm envious of you, Thorzen. One more change to talk about, and then we'll take some open phones.
Do it.
So recently we had some BNet changes talked about on the show. Spore crawlers, Burrow, Oracles, all that stuff. They've made one of the changes. Spore crawlers now plus 30 biological. I actually don't see this doing shit.
This fucking patch rocked my world, man. Like, I was going to ladder, but then I was like, you know what? How am I supposed to do anything with those damn spore crawlers kicking so much ass?
Yeah, I don't think we have any other option than to switch to Zerg now.
I agree. With the spore crawler change, I can't imagine. What am I supposed to do?
And they do it now in GSL, like, when there's so many Zergs left.
Yep.
It's going to be a CVC finals, for sure.
Exactly.
So, let me ask Suppy this. Suppy, most Muta games that I watch, Mutaling games, you know, they do involve battles in the bases, but most of the time those battles take place, like, so fucking far away from Spore Crawlers.
They have
that
to.
The Muta's role, but even before that, the Muta's role almost was never, like, if it could harass, great. But when it was Muta versus Muta, a lot of it was just about that airspace, that control, poke them when you can. Like, is this really going to change the Mutaling metagame?
Well, it doesn't have to be Muta against Muta now.
I mean, I personally, when I saw this, I was like, it's not going to change anything because it still doesn't help the fact that when you go non-Muta versus Muta, you have absolutely no map control and you literally can't see anything on the map for like 5+ minutes, and then you finally move out with an army that can actually take on whatever they have. And that's like the biggest problem, I think, is the lack of map control. But I was actually talking to like my Zerg group of buddies, or whatever you'd like to call them. And
what do you guys call yourselves?
Someone called us the Zerg Cabal. Which is like,
do you know what a cabal is?
It's like a secret like group.
Yeah, secret like group.
Secret like group, yeah.
You should Google that next time. And then, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, because now they actually think it's going to change a lot. Like Scarlet.
Suppy, can I propose a name real quick?
Yeah.
I want you guys to be called the Zerg Lemon Party.
Isn't that like a porno or something?
No. No. Suppy, get your mind out of the gutter. It's just a normal old group of old men that like to get together and do exactly what they feel like they should do. Now remember my advice. Make sure and Google that.
Go ahead. I could Google that.
I can't help myself but to Google that.
Is overseer?
Don't Google it. Right. Don't Google
Hold
it.
On.
Wait.
I'm Googling it.
What?
Lemon Image. Party.
Images. Yeah.
Are we gonna get a live reaction video?
Yeah, we got it right now. Look.
Okay, the Lemon Party of Canada is a frivolous Canadian party.
No. Images.
Talking about?
Oh God.
Images.
God.
Images.
Oh,
do you want
God.
Me to do this?
Yes, it's fine.
Oh, wow. This is what I expected.
Ew, stop!
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, I think I need to take a break from the show, guys. I have something to do.
Are burning off. Yeah.
Not
safe for work, by the way. Just in case you didn't catch that from all the giggling. And
All right, so the
Zerg Illuminati, led by Suppy, was about to unleash. Right.
What did you guys talk about?
Probably led by Scarlet.
That what? You're gonna talk about the Spore
Crawler?
Oh, okay. It's now, instead of 5 shots to kill a Muta, it's 3 shots, which means you really, like, if you put your Muta in range for, like, 1 second, you're going to lose, like, 2 Mutas at the very least. So they're talking about how, since you can't harass at all, there's going to be really, really strong, like, Roche Hydra timings that can hit you. And they think it actually will change things. Okay. I'm not so sure if it's actually going to change anything because, like I said, I feel like you still don't have map control. But I think the one benefit of it is it's actually going to make incentivize people to actually start trying more ground-based armies, whereas like now they have more of a reason to like try experimenting new things. And I think that's good. Like, there's this one guide. I think Jeff wrote this a long time ago. And I remember it was a ZVZ Brood War guide. And one of the words he used was, like, it was a very fickle matchup, whereas, like, a single mistake could cost you the game. And I think that's the main problem with Muta versus Muta
right
now is, like, you morph, like, four Banelings too many, and, like, you just, like, lose because if they play it perfectly, they'll have, like, more Mutas than you or, like, faster Mutas. But in Brood War, it was more exciting to watch because you had the potential to come back with Micro against Scourges and like Mutaless Micro and everything. So that's why I think Muta versus Muta is so kind of boring for people to watch because it's kind of just Mutas just fighting another clump of Mutas. But I think the Spore Crawler actually might, you know, lead some people to experiment. I've been doing anti-Muta builds for a while now, although having mixed success with it. But I think more people start attempting it, and maybe we will start getting some actual strategies that can counter Mutas.
I like to imagine your pitch as, like, you and an exterminator. You're like, yeah, I've been exterminating pests for about 10 years now with kind of mixed results. Sounds good, but... yeah, I don't know. I think, like, obviously I'm not a Zerg player, so I don't have a whole lot to say about this. I feel like I want to take a part of what Suppy said, though, and go off with it. Like, I feel like Blizzard should be balancing the game in part, and I think they are, in the direction of what makes this game more fun and exciting, not just for the players, but for the people that watch the game. And I don't know that buffing the Spore Crawler is going to accomplish that. Of course, there's performance issues. Like Suppy said, it's map control that's the big issue. But then if I'm an observer that watches EVZ, I don't know that I... like, Zerg players are already, you know, scared as shit of Spore Crawlers, right? Like, so now they're more scared of Spore Crawlers. And I don't think it makes the game more exciting that they're like, oh, he's engaging over a single Spore Crawler! Just like,
no!
Fucking punching the shit out of all the mutas and just blowing up in the air. Like, it was a terrible mistake before, now it's a bigger mistake. But I don't know that someone looks at the matchup and goes, well... now I can't go Mutalis. What they said, and what they do now is they say, well, I still can't fight over Spore Crawlers, but Mutalis allow me to deny expansions, hit gases that are probably exposed unless they have like four Spore Crawlers, and win fights wherever I pick the fight to be because these are the fastest units in the matchup. So I don't know that the Spore Crawler change is going to be the fix they want. I'm hoping we're wrong, but I just don't see how we could be.
Well, it might help against base trades. Like, if one goes for Mutalisks and the other guy goes for ground, usually I guess the Mutalisk guy will try to base trade if the guy moves out of his base. But now if you keep a couple of Banelings, you deal with the Zerglings, and now you don't need, like, 50 Spinecrawlers. You might need, like, 8.
Okay.
You'll be pretty safe. Like, I don't know.
That could be a place. I want them to go creative. Like, in the past, I've offered, like, they should have Scourge unlocked when two Zergs are in a game.
Yes.
You know what? They're not going to do that. Fine. That's cool. Let's do the next one. Spore Crawlers don't do more damage. What they do is they hit the viewing screen of the opposing player. So, like, when you get hit by a Spore Crawler, it fucking covers up your whole screen and you can't see anything. You're like, oh, no, I can't see anything at all. And they're like, it's just blocking you.
A whole new level of rage would come from something like
that. Banelings go off and confetti shoots everywhere that just kind of like makes everything look really jumbled and shit. There's a special Mutalisk Baneling that you can morph that when you blow it up against your opponent, it hits so many graphical demands that it actually slows down their computer. Real life Banelings in StarCraft, guys. Do you understand the possibility of that?
I like it.
You're fucking bombing the guy and his computer drops out. How sick is that? And then in this world, it's a peripheral battle. It's like, it's not even peripherals, excuse me, it's like computer components. So if you have like the top of the line Intel processor and all that top of the line Kingston RAM and shit, you can take the Banelings, but if your other opponent is sponsored by like not those guys. Huh?
I'm sure Blizzard was like,
that would actually fix the Korean problem.
I'm good. I'm in. Oh, there you go. All right, I'm gonna open up the phones. Is that cool for you guys? We'll
wait.
Do
what? Just
what?
10 seconds. Does CVC even need to change from Mutalisks? I think it's so much more exciting than Roach to watch.
It's better than Roach Infestor was, right?
It is. It is.
Roach Infestor was like, okay, there's a ramp. I will never ever be able to move up that ramp.
It was
okay,
the worst.
So I go to the other side. Okay, he just walked his army to that ramp. I can't attack up that ramp.
It was the worst.
What do you like PvP, Thorzane?
Yeah.
I mean, because
I haven't watched much of Heart of the Swarm, but I kind of like CVZ and PvP. Like, the more random it is, it's like more exciting to watch. Because it's not really random as in, like, okay, this guy now has a 50 supply advantage. Then it's not random. It's like in the start. And it's not super random. Like, the better player more often than not wins. But it adds a little bit of spice to it, in my opinion.
I mean, I can understand. It's like, I guess the way I see it is that I see right now ZVZ very similar to that stale time in Wings of Liberty where people were like, PvP is the most boring matchup ever. And now, I mean, I never in a million years thought I would ever get excited for PvP. But I am, because I feel like there are so many different roads to go. And right now, the fact that it's all, it's all dictated by this sort of mutiling metagame, I think, I mean, as a Zerg player, it sucks. Like, I'm not a fan. So I would like it to change just because I want to see that same level of variety that I feel like I can get when I watch PvP.
Yeah, like I was saying, I don't think people find it fun fun to watch when it's the same thing every time, and you add on to the fact that, say, you get a little bit behind in the early game, it's almost like a numbers game where you can't micro to... Right. It's not like Brood War where you could micro, and with good micro you can get back in the game, but like in Heart of the Swarm, it almost feels like if you get behind in the beginning, it's just you're really, really facing an uphill battle, because unless they make some huge mistake, they're just simply going to have more mutas than you.
I think it's just Lings that allow you to come back. Like, that's it. It's not going to be through mutas.
Yeah, and I think if it did progress back to ground armies with Heart of the Swarm, it would be a lot more dynamic than it would be in Wings of Liberty, because you have the nerfed Infestors with the projectile thing, so Infestors aren't going to be necessarily the best unit to go. I think we could possibly see Swarm Hosts and stuff. It really depends. Like, Fungal will be a little bit more exciting too, just because it's a little bit harder to hit. I think if we go back to ground in Heart of the Swarm, it won't be as boring as in Wings of Liberty.
And Ultras are better. I think the nightmare that could happen is if I ever saw Broodlord Swarm Host versus Broodlord Swarm Host, I think I'd just die. I think I would just actually keel over and die.
I've had games in Wings of Liberty, just Broodlord versus Broodlord, and just nothing happens for 35 minutes.
Yes. Those were terrible, but now you can add Swarm Host to that. And then drop some changelings in that shit, too. Plug it up, you know?
All right, I'm going to take our first calls. We already got calls coming in. Numbers up there on the screen. Let's take this first one. We got area code 860. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Yo.
Not much, man.
Thanks for having me on. I'm going to make this quick because I should be studying for finals. But this is a question for In Control, mostly, and about, like, not really about gaming, more about just the community as a whole. Anytime you're on a show like this, like Inside the Game or State of the Game, stuff like that, I pretty much always watch it because of you, because you're just really funny. You have a great personality.
Thank you.
I just, like, was wondering if you would consider, like, I feel like there's an opportunity to pursue that as, like just produce more content, I guess. Possibly like your own show or something like that, maybe through YouTube or something, but just to, because I feel like there's a place for like comedy in esports, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like J9 does that now, but I think it could be taken to like another level. So, I don't know, something to do with that. Maybe just to get your personality out there, because I just feel like it would just get more viewership, at least for EG, and just for the scene as a whole. It's just like more content, basically, because that's what we want. So, I don't know, just kind of an idea.
Yeah, well, thank you for the question. Really appreciate that. A lot of nice things you said there. For me personally, in general, like, I really do enjoy shows like this, and I really do enjoy casting and commentating and doing all that, but I enjoy those things as a means to allow me to continue to do what I want, which is still play this game a whole bunch. So I feel like if I were to, like, dedicate all my time to just doing shows and doing that kind of thing, I think I would be doing a little bit less of what I actually want to do. But to your point, whenever I do like a new show, like role play, or I appear on Say the Game, there's always, I'm surprised at how many new people come into shows that don't always just watch it. Like, I think that's a dumb thing for me to say out loud because it makes sense 100%. But to your point, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm very aware of the benefit of that, and I'm looking for ways to put that into my schedule without it dominating my life as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, dude.
Good luck, guys, in the future. I'm a big fan of all you guys, so good job. Keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Just think, Seppi and Thorzane, maybe one day someone will call in and ask you guys a question. No, I'm just playing around. I'm just playing around.
One day.
People can ask questions like that all day long, man. I have no problem.
All right, let's take another one. Area code 919. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, DJ Weed. Hey, In Control, everybody there. Yo. Me from North Carolina.
How's it going?
So happy to be on. I just wanted to touch on something you guys were talking about the Artosis curse.
Uh-huh.
I actually saw the Parting Soul Key game last night, and before that, Artosis actually called for a Parting versus Innovation final.
Oh my god. Indirect curse.
Oh my god, it's happened.
It's just like
shit.
The guy, there's the guy in Brood War, the carrier guy, the commentator who predicted like every single one. And every single one of his predictions was wrong, except for, like, one.
I'll tell you what. If Innovate, like, Roro's fucking amazing, but with the way Innovation's playing, it's like, he's not the absolute favorite, but he is the favorite for sure. If he does lose to Roro, then that curse, I don't think it needs any more proof ever again, right?
Yeah.
If Innovation is the guy who would be able to break the Artosis curse the way he's playing right now, I mean, he's playing better than Boxer was back in the old Brood War days.
There's very important fact behind the statement that you just made, is that it would prove you know, to break the curse, but because he's that good, it also could prove the curse is real.
Mm.
Well, I think we'll all have our answer after this GSL.
I guess we will.
Yeah,
I guess we will. Sorry, Parting. I did not know that. I did not hear that before the game.
Go, Roro.
So. I was so sad when that game happened.
Sorry. Hey, thanks for your call.
It's great to be on.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right.
Go, Roro. You don't want Innovation?
No, I tend to.
He roots against Terran players, man.
Cheer at them against Terran players.
That's a good philosophy.
Winst you?
No, not always. I like Roro. Like, I tend to want the guys who already... Like, he won the last one. I wanted him to do well this one as well.
Oh, I see.
Why? What is that?
I don't know. It's...
I tend to want the guys he already won to win again. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Not like, win again, but, like, I want him to do well again, like...
He's done well! Like,
yeah. I want him to...
Is this eight?
Okay. I think this Innovation hyping has to stop to some extent. Like... He's already been hyped so much, and him getting hyped, I'm totally fine with it, because he's, like, a really great player. But, like, saying that he's better than Boxer was, and I didn't really follow Brood War days, but I think Boxer won, like, a ton of championships, and this guy, Innovation, didn't really win anything yet, so how can you even say that? It's so early.
Well, I always disregard those kind of statements anyways, because to me it's like... taking modern sports and you'd compare like the greatest soccer player from like 30 years ago to the modern day best soccer player or something like that. I guess it's a little bit less of an example in soccer, but like for me, like NBA basketball, players from like 30, 40 years ago were like the best for their time, but they would not compare to a Kobe Bryant now, in my opinion. And I always think it's funny when people do that. So like Boxer played absolutely amazing for his time. But I think if you were to drop off Innovation back then, he would like. It would be like the Terminator fighting John Connor, but I can't come up with an analogy.
Yeah, it's like if any one of us three would get like dropped back to this start of 2 beta, like even DJ Wheat would win a GSL. No offense, DJ Wheat.
Even I would.
Top 10 diamonds.
Hey. I'm working my way up there, buddy.
I wanted to say something about Terminators and children and stuff like that, but I took way too much describing.
I was thinking of an analogy, like comparing like Albert Einstein with Isaac Newton.
See, I don't.
Oh,
pretty sure. No. What position did they play in soccer? I don't even follow the sport that much. You know what I'm saying? Damn it, Wheat, you laughed too hard. I want to see if I could get him. Subby is so believable.
Jeff, those were two scientists.
All right, let's take another call.
Isaac Newton's the one that discovered lightning, and Albert Einstein has the A equals BC fared. I know about that.
That's exactly right, man. Exactly. Yeah. All right, we're going to take Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good, man.
Good, man.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it wasn't too long. So WCS is kind of in full swing, and everything's kind of kicking off, and it's on pretty much every night, and it's on all the time. And I try and run some community tournaments and stuff and try and get things going, but, like, you know, lately with WCS being on, obviously you try and maybe plan around big events because it's kind of suicide to people who watch the stream, if anyone watches it, and so on. So I was just kind of wondering, is there any kind of, you know, place in the community anymore with so much WCS on?
I think it's a fair question. What do you guys think?
I just want to jump out there because, you know, we talked a lot about the whole concept of we've talked about the oversaturation, which has certainly been something. There's been a lot of content. You could argue that when NASL and IPL were in full swing, along with what MLG was doing and ESL, there was always too much StarCraft to watch. And now it's sort of like consolidated and funneling into like one nice tube. The problem is that not everything sort of fits that mold. You know, last week we had the discussions about NASL and we're kind of waiting to hear what their plans are going to be moving forward. But, you know, there's still always got to be a level of competition that will foster in, you know, new players. Like, I take it back to the days of Quake and Counter-Strike, right? Like, we broadcasted the big matchups. But if it weren't for all the community cups that were happening in between those large events, then there was never anyone like players taking that additional interest and new fans getting on board. And I'm still a solid believer in the idea that, you know, you may not be able to get the same viewership as like a WCS is going to get, but there's going to be people that are interested in your content and you're going to help build, you know, content for the community. I would not suggest that you try to go in and create a business and sell your house and go all in on creating a community-based league that you're going to, you know, but I do think that there's a space and a spot for it. And, you know, that's my thoughts. Guys, anything else?
What do you think, guys?
I think, like, the growth of smaller events is what keeps the scene sustainable. I would just bring up, like, CSL, for example. But, I mean, the question is basically about, like, is there too much saturation, or...
Yeah, like, well, obviously, like, it's not anything that can go up completely against WCS or any kind of large event at all, but, like, it's very hard to kind of avoid them events now because WCS is on every night. So, like, how do you make something start to grow if you can't grab, like, a few moments to maybe, like, take advantage of when nothing's there?
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, it is really difficult. So I'd be kind of interested to see if there's any kind of downtime at all, I guess is what I would say. And if that is the case, then what people are going to have to do, which is not necessarily fair, but they're going to have to go to Blizzard and schedule around Blizzard with WCS, right? But if there is a downtime, like, of a couple weeks, then I feel like that is fair and good. If there's not downtime at all and it's just continuous WCS every day, then I think this will be a growing issue that's definitely needs attention, because it's not just now. It's always been that esports has been maintained by community-ran events or small-time things that give inspiration and hope to people in local communities or smaller communities, and you can't rely 100% on Blizzard to put on every single tournament, or you can't praise Blizzard for muscling out all of their competition in their own game, I would say.
Does WCS really destroy...
You're not allowed to broadcast
those tournaments?
Yeah, you can't broadcast while they're on.
You can't broadcast anything while they're on?
Nope.
Yeah, that's why NASL has been kind of... Because NASL was like a weekly format, or like a league
what's
format.
The limit? Like, it's like you can't broadcast this tournament above this prize money? Because I bet, like, could...
I think it has to do with prize money.
Yeah,
I think
it does.
Issue is... So if your prize money is above $10,000, then you won't get an okay from Blizzard if it competes at the WCS event. I believe it's $10,000.
I believe
if it's
and
below,
that's a lot of money.
If it's below $10,000, then what the caller is speaking to is like, if I have WCS round of 8 for Europe going on, and then I have my $1,000 invitational 8-man, 16-man tournament, nobody's going to watch that. And it was
already hard
in the past.
Why would... Like, I see why, but it just feels like so wrong to forbid tournaments from playing when their tournament is going on. Like, just feels like...
To me, I feel
it's not freedom. It's not America.
Yeah, well, actually, to that point, I kind of feel like it's a... This is almost a silly comparison just because of how much I have to speak about it, but we have this thing called affirmative action in the United States where... In general, jobs were hiring under really prejudiced standards. Like, if I have a board of people that have been owning a company for 50 years and it's a bunch of white dudes, statistically it was found that they were far and away more likely to hire someone closer to their race and type as opposed to, like, necessarily the best person for the job. So they enacted a law that says you have to have this many people that are ethnic, this many people that are homosexual, so on and so forth. But then... What that did was it was like a fix for a problem that exasperated the problem. Now everybody that was hired to these jobs that was racial or, you know, sexually oriented one way or another, their position at that job was it wasn't taken serious because people would assume that they were there because they had to be there. And I feel like that's the same thing here. Like the tournaments were having a tough time, so Blizzard wanted to enact something that unified all the scenes so that
right.
you wouldn't have an MLG and an IEM at the same weekend. But in doing that, it spread out all the content, which muscles out all the smaller fish. That was the most complicated thing I ever said. I'm really happy I did that. I got through it.
You did get through it.
Thank you.
DreamHack was still able to run their tournament, right, in between WCS. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean...
And again, if you don't conflict, then you're in good shape. If you said you're not going to necessarily be competing with WCS, Jonathan, I'll give you we got to keep going. But I'll give you like one piece of advice, just from a Twitch perspective, right? There's actually times of the day where there is not jack shit on. You know, typically you can find these hours sort of in the midst of the evening, or early morning. I mean, whatever, it depends on, you've got to kind of look at the viewing, but consider just rebroadcasting your stuff. You know, it's been very successful for other channels. You know, you might have to commit to a live time to broadcast, but then figure out a way to rebroadcast some of your own content. So that maybe when someone is looking for that, you know, something to watch and there's not anything, they might have another opportunity to get it. But we appreciate your call.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Big fan. Keep it up. I'll see you all
Thanks, dude.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
So getting near the nitty-gritty, I'll take one more, and then we'll see if Mr. Lust is going to be joining us. Got someone we want you to meet, you guys. He's kind of cool, dude. All right.
He's a big Edger fanboy, too. This is going to be a hard show for him.
Oh, man. Oh, man. What are we going to do? All right. Let's see. Let's just take this one. We got area code 540. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much, man. How's it going?
First off, I want to say welcome to Suppy and Thorzane for
Thanks,
joining
yeah.
the show. I don't think anyone said that yet. But my question has to do with a lot of mainstream gaming websites. I've noticed that they've been putting on articles about Idra and everything going on with that. But no one's ever talking about, like, good things that come out of esports, such as, like, the Nawa and Leenok files at DreamHack, or Suppy and Scarlet being the only Americans left in WCSNA. Like, what can we do as a community or anything to help bring the more positives to mainstream? At least the news article.
People care about the drama. I don't know.
I this is something that actually I thought maybe I had talked with you about it a little bit, Jeff. I don't know if it was in private or on a show or whatever. But, you know, the funny thing is, it's like in the past, when mainstream sites have posted something like gamer overcomes obstacles and wins $100,000 in massive grand finals, the comments would be like, what? These guys play video games for months? That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. So the guys are like, shit, well, these guys didn't really like that. So, you know, so then 2 weeks later, some, you know, 19-year-old kid drinks 15 Thai Red Bulls and, you know, dies when he's playing some, you know, game he's grinding. And they're like, I'm going to give this, you know, I'm going to give this another shot. People are like, oh, my God, what an idiot to have to do that. I can't believe it. And they're like, okay, well, that got more views, more traction. So then the next thing comes around. It's like someone found cheating in major competition. They decided that they didn't want to talk about $1 million up for grabs. They didn't want to talk about the fact that there was 15 countries participating. They wanted to focus in on the cheating. And why? Because it's how the readers respond. So honestly, at the end of the day, it all comes down to how Kotaku, who's like one of the biggest biggest culprits of this, how they saw their readers respond to professional gaming articles. And so that's how they trained themselves to do it. And as much as it makes me want to hit my head up against the wall and say it, is that Slasher and his ragtag bunch of guys are actually the only guys that are really trying to break down the walls there. But I do feel like that's the reason why. It's just based off reaction.
No, I actually got really mad about all this after reading all the comments on Kotaku about Idra, and that just infuriated me about how little people know.
No. It makes sense too if you think about it though. Like if I read an article this goes back through all journalism and on all fields. But if it's more of like a bold, outlandish statement about something rare and unique and crazy, then I'm more likely to be like, well, I got to talk about that because I disagree with this, or I'm like, whoa, I had no idea that went on. I'm going to pursue other information about this because that's so crazy. Whereas people read about winning and good stories and reportings of accomplishments all the time, and that's not that controversial because I don't have a whole lot to say about that. Like, when I read a headline that is the Alliance wins the Wii Play tournament, I'm like, okay. But if they're like, Alliance wins Wii Play tournament, but did they actually do it, or was it alien body doubles? Then I'm like, holy shit! Tell me more! And then I go into it. So I guess, as a community, what we should do is when a really good article comes out that's long and in-depth and has a lot of good journalism involved in it, and it's not necessarily about something crazy, repost that shit, tweet it, link it, show it to people, Facebook it, and give it praise, and fight against human nature to also be interested in that kind of stuff. But that's the, like, grassroots approach. It's not going to change the way people think.
Yeah.
You just have to try. One starfish at a time.
Some sites are doing better. They are getting better. They still fall back on the, like, oh, God, some guy cheated and some guy, you know, I can't wait to post about. But I am seeing more, you know, for example, PC Gamer posted the real talk that JP did with Greg. I'm like, all right, that, because there's something that someone could watch. They could, you know, the facts are all there. That's something. So, you know, they're getting better. We just have to always kind of be aware that they're servicing the audience. And the audience thinks everything that we do is silly and ridiculous. So
a lot of what we do is silly and ridiculous.
It is. Most of it, in fact.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well,
Colin,
thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We got to make room for this guy right here. All right, our final call of the night. We're going to have to make it a quick one, ladies and gentlemen, here on episode 70. Got the one, the only Goatlust. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, not much, mate. How are you, you fellas?
Doing pretty
well.
Good.
Not bad.
Doing well,
not
sir.
Not bad.
Yeah? How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just a little bit chilly, you know? Fucking getting ridiculous around here.
Yeah.
What's chilly for an Australian?
Oh, I don't know, like fucking probably like 18 degrees Celsius or something.
All right, now tell us in Fahrenheit.
None of us know what that
means.
No.
That's not even that cold.
Keep it in Celsius, please. You don't have to.
Yeah, Thorstein should know the real shit.
Yeah.
Is that cold, Thorstein?
Well, not for Swedes, I guess.
Oh, so keep it in Celsius, super warm, but like, Goatless, you're a pussy. Just letting you
know. No. Okay. Anyone who counts in Celsius can't be pussies.
All right.
No, I go to China.
I'm going to use Google.
I go to China. We set the air conditioning to like 22 degrees Celsius.
You go to a part of China that has air conditioning?
Yeah. Pretty rare, but...
Oh, you're one of those rich people then. Idiot.
Well, at least with Greg gone, there's some people around to rep the Celsius. It's good shit. Rep the metric measurements.
Really? Only 60 Fahrenheit? Can I just tell you guys something? So I went to Google. I typed in 16 Celsius thinking that, you know, it's just going to automatically. Google's smart like that. The first hit was actually a wiki.answers.com that the question was... What is 16 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit? Like, did someone... I don't know, man. The internet blows my mind in weird ways every day. Goatless.
As far as I'm concerned, there's two measuring systems. There's American and there's fucking not. I don't care what you do with your country and your styles, but here in America, it's pretty simple. It's 12 p.m. It ain't no goddamn 20 CET or none of that shit. When it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit... There's even a book named after it, Fahrenheit something 251 or whatever it was.
All right, Goatless. All right, because we're running out of time. What's your question?
All right. So, with Greg gone, maybe you fellas can afford to pick up, you know, maybe 2-3 new players, something like that. So
at
I was
least
just
seven.
Wondering.
I know who we should get.
Who?
Yeah,
Thorstein already knew the question. Yeah,
Thorstein
don't jump the gun. If you could get like one foreign player, one Korean player for EG, who would you grab? No XEG, so you can't just get Idra back. Otherwise, I know everyone
really
would be going straight for that
question. Goatless, we're actually using this opportunity to buy a land center to farm bitcoins. We're going to call it the EG spawning pool.
Oh, shit. That's good. All right, no, this is a good question, though, you guys.
Craig Levine's managing it.
You have all of the appropriate funds have been siphoned to you. You get to choose EG's next member. You break any contract, you have the power to just, like, psh, you're on EG.
Oh, okay. That's good. Suppy, how much did you
Hello
pay
Kitty.
Scarlet? Oh, what?
Yeah? Hello, Kitty?
Hello, Kitty. No. Oh, okay. I would probably have to go with Scarlet.
Okay. Anyone?
Thorzane?
Was it one foreigner, one Korean, or just one foreigner?
Yeah. One foreigner, one Korean.
Yeah, so you have a Korean left, Suppy.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know. Frickballs.
Frickballs.
Who's good Korean? Maybe we should get Bisu. He's been doing pretty well recently.
Mm-hmm. Pull it from the old school.
Old school, yeah.
We're going to have to rename him to Frickballs, though. E.g. Frickballs RC.
Frickballs?
A.K.A. Bisu. All right. So, Scarlet and Bisu.
Okay, so for me, well, Korean, obviously, innovation, and foreigner, I really like Mana, and he's like a super strong player, and I think he has a lot of potential to grow a big fan base, because he can be, like, yeah, he has a personality, so Mana.
Good picks. I would go with, I think Parting as the Korean, and I would also break his contract with Korea where he has to go to the army soon. And then for non-Korean
citizenship,
yeah,
we'd absorb him. We'd America. We've done it before with the Muslim. We can do it with him too.
non-Korean.
I really like the pick of Mana, because actually, Mana is one of the coolest guys to hang out with at a lot of these lands. He's really funny. But he's also, and I think what's actually really important, he's not afraid to share his opinion or argue, but in like a friendly kind of way. Which is a little bit more unique. A lot of people don't like to put their opinions out there too much. And I mean, he doesn't put his opinion out there, but in person he will.
And he's pretty damn good. Second earningest foreigner, I think, after Stefano.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely good. And he's been good since Brood War, by the way. He was amazing back in the day. I just think it's lame to pick Mana after you did, so I'm trying to think of somebody else.
Do I get to play EG
yes.
Manager
you get
for
to play
a day?
Too, of course.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
So, I mean, the obvious Korea choice is actually, I feel like you guys are doing pretty good in the Korean department. So I would actually pick up John the Translator from GOM TV and open up the EG Yu-Gi-Oh! Division and have him focus entirely on Yu-Gi-Oh! From a trading card game perspective.
Well, as you know, EG's not focused on results at all.
Well...
As people would say.
In Yu-Gi-Oh! We're dead fucking serious
See,
about that
that's
shit.
That's right.
All right.
And the other pick for EU is actually a selfish one. I would probably choose Nidan because I feel like I could add another box here for inside the game just to have Nidan occasionally chime in with his, with his
Do
one
you ever
of
watch
a kind.
The Tom Green show, and Marcus?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember his friend that just sat in the window and just said whatever?
Whatever, that's whenever. That's Nidan, right. Yeah. I feel like this would be the best for me.
You know who I'd pick? I've got my pick now.
What's that?
My non-Korean pick would be Kane, actually. And I think Kane is a young American player. He's Canadian, actually, but North American. Who has a tremendous amount of talent. And I think he's going to go really far. He's trying to be more Mana, but speaking pretty candidly, even if he didn't try to be more Mana, we just lost Greg. We get Kane, and we're back together again.
Wait, is that how it would work?
Yeah, you need a bad Mana Zerg on your team at all times. I thought you knew this. This is the EG format. This is what we do.
Is Kane BM?
I figured that you were just going to try to...
He's trying to be better. It's more of a joke than anything, but he used
since
to be
joined Root, he's, yeah, since he's joined Root, he's been doing better.
Sorry, Jeff. That just took me by surprise because last I heard it was Suppy and some other Zergs being sent to it, actually like a disobedient school to try
we're
to...
We're trying. We're trying to break Suppy of it. Bit, he's proving to be a difficult student in that area.
Frick you all, biatches.
Yeah, frick balls.
Frick balls.
Frick balls.
I'm going to destroy you all.
Frick balls.
All right. Goat Lust.
All right.
Would you like to just have, any final words? A goodbye to Greg. You never got a formal opportunity to say goodbye to him.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, I don't know. I suppose good luck to him anyway. I mean, whatever he does, he's going to do all right. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't too hugely struck by the news because, Greg really hasn't been doing so well lately, and I think that as soon as I saw it, I thought, maybe this is an opportunity, a bit of a kick to him, a bit of a change, of course, a bit of something to change the direction up, mix it up a bit, and, it can only really be good for him because of, how his situation may be stagnated. So, I don't know. Good on him. All the best.
Goat Lust.
Someone needs to make that into a wallpaper, that speech they just gave
right
there.
That whole speech. I don't know. That's the last line.
Gonna be fine, I guess.
Goat Lust, we love your call every single week. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, fellas. And best of luck on the show in the future, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Goat Lust.
Peace.
You guys have to tell me and Suppy about Goat Lust.
He literally the first day we did Inside the Game, he called it. And of course, his name is Goat Lust, so we're all like, wait a second, who's this? this guy has to be a troll, right? So he's like, hey, yeah, good day, mates. Fucking hey, good day, mate. He's like, And we're like, so the next week he called in. And we're like, hey, that Goat Lust guy was kind of cool. Let's pick up his call again. And then the next week. And then the next week. And I think there's only two episodes where he is not called in or participated.
Why did you invite me and Conan? You could have just had Goat Lust. You three guys.
You know what, Thorzane? You don't want to know how many people actually said that. But, you know, even Goat Lust would probably be very humble and say, I think Thorzane and Suppy know a little bit more about the game than I do. And so that, you know.
I don't know.
It sounded to me like.
No.
It's a mixture between, like, Australian and Texan.
He's the best to ask questions. He's the best question asker there is. So to take him out of that role would be to hurt our show overall.
Yeah, that's true.
Got to keep him there.
Guys, this is going to be the end of the show, and you made it. You're alive.
You guys passed the test.
You didn't leave. That's good, so congratulations. However, we have one more thing that we do. At the end of each show, opportunity to, you know, say goodbye, your final thoughts, anything you'd like to say. Sometimes we say stuff serious. Sometimes we joke around. But either way, the time is yours. So use it wisely. We're going to start with you, Thorzane.
Oh, I think you should start with Jeff. He's the most experienced one.
Jeff, we're starting with you, Jeff.
Let me kick it off. Big shout out to Team Evil Geniuses and all of our lovely sponsors, including Raid Call, Monster, King Cyper X, Razor, Astro, and Intel, motherfuckers! Still sponsored by them, actually. Intel Extreme Boards closed its shop about 6 months ago. They were our actual name sponsor. We still work with Intel, and they still give us money to play the StarCrafts and other games. So I want to give a big shout-out to all of them. Special shout-out to Monster, though, because I do see Joe's name in there, which case, of course, I want to draw extra attention to that because he's actually listening, and I love Monster.
Yes,
and,
every week, Joe's there.
Always here, so I want to thank him. This is the first show without Greg, so just, again, if it wasn't clear to you guys just yet, he will no longer be doing Inside the Game. We'll miss him forever. He's an awesome guy. Still can interact with all of us. We're all hanging out. It's cool. It's no love lost, but we just can't work with him on the show anymore. And I want to give a big shout-out to Thorzane and Suppy because it's hard to stand on a show between Wheat and I. Some people say we talk a lot and we're kind of strong personalities, but you guys rose the challenge, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you guys. Thanks.
And as for me personally, do follow me on Twitter if you haven't already, EG In Control. I'll be streaming perhaps after this, but certainly tomorrow. And I love you all, and I'll see you all later. Oh, and I'm on State of the Game Thursday. Tune into that. Oh, no, Friday. Excuse me. Friday at like 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. See me there.
I'll see you there. Suppy, do you want to go next?
Big shout out to the entire team and all the sponsors that In Control mentioned, and hope you guys root for me for WCS Group C, where I'm going to dominate and destroy everybody and kill Face. And
oh, that was getting savage there for a second.
Oh, sorry. And then thank you guys for having me on the show. I thought it was really fun, and I liked it. And
awesome. Does that mean you're going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Awesome.
Very good.
All right. Thorzane, was that it, Suppy? I'm sorry. I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks, Marcus, for having me on. I remember doing, like, State of the Game, like, a year ago once, and I was, like, so shy and awkward. I just sat there and looked at the screen and didn't say anything. But I felt like today went pretty well, actually. I'm pretty satisfied about the show today. I had a lot of fun, even though it's like 3 a.m. now. And I am looking forward to next week. And, well, as of me, please follow me on Twitter at EGThorzane. Watch my stream whenever I stream at twitch.tv/Thorzane. I'm going to start streaming again now. I have WCS in 2 days, and then when I get back, I'm gonna stream, like, all the time. And, of course, EG, and our lovely sponsors, Raid Call, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Astro, Intel. Thank you.
Thorzane, thank you. That was I feel like you've done that 69 times, so you nailed it. Good job. All I got to say tomorrow is that Wednesday night we round out our week's worth of shows on One More Game TV with Live on 3. We're going to have a special co-host, Thorin. And if you never got a chance to see Slasher versus Thorin, tomorrow is surely going to be a show of fireworks. So I'm looking forward to it. Other than that, I'm also streaming on the weekends. As Suppy said, top 10 diamond, but I'm working my way up, Suppy. I'm doing it, man. I'm putting in my hours. Thanks everyone who's been tuning into that. And it's been an absolute pleasure having Thorzane and Suppy here tonight. I do want to congratulate the Muslim. He did beat Maker and advanced on. I know you guys were talking about it earlier, but people were talking about it in chat. Like, how can you go through this show and not congratulate the Muslim? Well, we are saving the best for last. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow on Live on 3. We're out of here. Peace.